your share of tears. But I choose to live on the positive side, and I won't be held hostage by fear. I'm a prisoner of hope, bound by my faith, chained to your love, locked up in grace. I'm free to leave, but I'll never go. I'm wonderfully, willingly, freely, a prisoner of hope. Some people doubt what they don't understand, but I know what's true in my heart. Now I can't control what's out of my hands, but I can lay back in His arms. I'm a prisoner of hope, bound by my faith, chained to your love, locked up in grace. I'm free to leave, but I'll never go. I'm wonderfully, willingly, freely, a prisoner of hope. I'm a prisoner of hope, bound by my faith, chained to your love, locked up in grace. I'm free to leave, but I'll never go. I'm wonderfully, willingly, freely,
a prisoner of hope,
bound by my faith, chained to your love, locked up in grace. I'm free to leave, but I'll never go. I'm wonderfully, willingly, freely, a prisoner of hope. I'm wonderfully, willingly, freely, a prisoner of hope.
Ladies, enjoyed the good song tonight. That was a blessing. You know, I was sitting up here just a little ago during the offering, looking around at the decorations up here for the Bible school, and you know, the thought came across me: if I was a kid, I would really want one of those animals in my bedroom. I would really want one of those, that donkey or that pig. This is a sheep. That's the black sheep of the family right there. Amen. So I would want, seriously, in my bedroom, are there any children who would love to have one of these animals in your bedroom? In your bedroom, seriously. Christian, I saw your mom trying to put your hand down. Which one do you want, Christian? What? Wait, Christian, which one do you want? The pig. All right. It's yours. Don't jerk it off the wall. What are those up there with, fellas? Small. So just don't let them get it off for you, okay? All right? All right, good. Brayton, you want an animal, son? Which one do you want? The horse? It's yours. His name is Mr. Ed. Is that Liam? Liam, you want a horse? Which one do you want, Liam? The cow. All right. What do you want, Aaron? The sheep. Okay, what's left? The donkey. Josiah, you want the donkey. Okay. Okay, all right. Does that take care of it? We got rid of El Bob? Who wants mom and pop? That's a good picture right there. So anybody want the farmer and his wife? You guys, Tim, you want this? You got it? Okay, very good, man. That's yours. Yes, sir. All right, very good. So y'all pick those up after church. No, you can't have the John Deere tractor. You can't have the farm gate, okay? So that's got to stay put. But we'll give those away. Because what were y'all, did y'all have plans for that? I just give away your plans for... Did you have plans for those, Brother Bragg, for school? You sure? All right. Okay. All right. Very good. Luke 24. Let's go there tonight. Gospel of Luke chapter 24. Find that place in your Bible. And we'll jump into a message here in just a moment as you find your place. I'm going to begin reading here at verse number 30 this evening. and a familiar story, familiar passage. And so let's stand together in honor of God's good book tonight, since we didn't do that this morning, the way things were. I'll read verse 30. Please join me on 31. We're in Luke 24. I'm in verse 30. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. Read with me. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the Scriptures? And so I want to speak tonight on the subject, keeping on the boil. Keeping on the boil. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Please open our eyes to it tonight. May we behold wondrous things from your book. I pray that you'd instruct us, help us, teach us, encourage, Lord, rebuke us, whatever our need is, pray through the Holy Ghost and the Scriptures. You speak to the need of our hearts tonight. Thank you for your Bible. Help us in Jesus' name and amen. Thank you. Be seated. Several years ago, 15 and a half years ago to be exact, Pastor Jim Chamberlain, who is now in heaven, and myself traveled to New Zealand and Australia on a missions preaching trip. I never will forget it. It was January of 2002, just about 4 months after the attack on our nation at 9/11, and it was the first time I had flown since all the security measures had gone into place at the airports, and so it was an interesting trip. John Nordman was a missionary in Australia that we supported in those days, and he was the man who put the trip together, contacted Brother Chamberlain and myself, and it was about coming to Australia to a preacher's conference, and then it expanded to New Zealand. Brother Mark Bushy and Mike Rigney were in New Zealand at the time, and I believe Brother Bushy found out we were coming to Australia, and so he called and he said, would you mind making a stop in New Zealand? And so we did. We stopped in New Zealand, and while there, I went visiting with Brother Bushy on Saturday, and we were going into the homes of different people and visiting some church members and then just trying to get new folks out to the church and so forth. And in every home we went into, including the motel we stayed in, there was a small appliance. It was not a hot plate. It was just another type of small appliance that kept water hot. That's what it did. Because in their culture, you know, being a British colony, they are always ready to serve hot tea to their guests. Always ready to serve hot tea to somebody, a friend or a relative or just somebody that stops by. They have what they call tea and biscuits. The biscuits was not like you and I would think of a biscuit, like for breakfast or something. It was a small type, a type of some kind of small pastry. But they called it tea and biscuits. And these little small appliances were everywhere. And they would keep the water hot. And the New Zealanders called it keeping on the boil. I remember asking Brother Bushy, what are those things? You know, they always seem to have hot water. They want to serve you tea. He said, brother, it's called keeping on the boil. Keeping water so hot that at a moment's notice, they can serve hot tea to one of their guests. Now, that made an impression upon me relative to living for the Lord Jesus Christ. It is necessary for a child of God to keep on the boil, to keep his heart warm, to keep our hearts fervent for the Lord Jesus Christ at all times. Regardless of what is going on around us, it's imperative that in us we have a warm heart for the Lord Jesus Christ. We keep on the boil. We were in New Zealand in January, but that's warm because it's Southern Hemisphere. So it was their summer. And I remember us going up on the little hill looking over the city of Whanganui, and it was hot, and I felt a cool breeze blowing. And I said to Brother Bushy, man, that north wind, cool north wind feels good. He said, brother, that's a cool south wind. And we don't get many of those here in the States. But it was blowing up from Antarctica, all out of the south, because that's how far deep they are into the Southern Hemisphere. Now, when you go there in June through September, our summer and fall, well, it's much cooler. It's their winter. They get snow up in the mountains like we would get snow here. And it is more moderate down low, but it's snow and cold up in the mountains. But the New Zealanders, year-round, whether it's summer or winter, spring or fall, hot, cold, doesn't matter, the New Zealanders keep on the boil. Now, keeping on the boil as a Christian is so very, very necessary. And I sense this week just a strong need to speak about that subject in the service tonight. Now, we're in this passage. You know this story, so I won't belabor it. Jesus had been crucified. He had been buried. He was now risen from the grave. The tomb was empty. But many of the followers just didn't believe what He had taught them about the resurrection. And folks, don't be too hard on them. It's not every day that somebody comes out of the grave alive. Okay? That doesn't happen all the time. All right? And so these followers of Christ are still kind of suspicious. These two followers of the Lord were part of that crowd. They're part of that group that was following Christ and just not sure what all was going on. They are walking from Jerusalem to a village called Emmaus. The Bible says it's 60 furlongs. As according to what I looked up this week, it's almost 7 miles. So about a 7 mile walk, and Jesus joins them on this walk. You see it in verse number 16, okay? Verse 15, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them, verse 16, but their eyes were holden that they should not know Him. So they didn't recognize the Lord Jesus. They are sad. And Jesus listens to their conversation, and He brings up the fact to them that their talk has the manner of discouraged talk. Your talk sounds like people who are discouraged, people who are despondent. Why are you so sad? Why are you so despondent? And people, at times, the Christian life can be a little bit perplexing, especially for those who are earnestly attempting to follow Christ and serve Him. I am not one that pity parties and says, it's such a bad day and age, we can't live for God, we can't enjoy the Christian life. Yes, you can. You can be victorious because God said we could be victorious. Okay? If we're not victorious, it's not God's fault. All right? But at the same time, it can be perplexing. It can be a little bit frustrating at times, not the Lord, but just the Christian life. And during those times, our hearts are susceptible to cool off. Our hearts are susceptible to wander from the Lord. And it is during those times that we need to be mindful to keep on the boil. To keep on the boil. Regardless of what's happening around us. Okay? I need to be mindful to keep on the boil as far as my heart is concerned. Let me talk about two or three of these type times tonight. Now, number one, I think about this. I think about disappointed calculations. Disappointed calculations. Look at verse number 21. They were walking along here. Jesus brought it up to them that their talk was sad. And in verse 21, look at, if you like to mark your Bible, mark these words. But we thought this was the deliverer. We thought this Jesus, but we trusted that it had been. We trusted that it had been He which should have redeemed Israel. By their calculations, the Messiah was going to come riding in and free them from Roman oppression. That was by their calculations. Instead, He had come in as a suffering servant. He had ridden into Jerusalem, not on a white horse, on a donkey. He had been crucified, beaten to a pulp at the hands of the merciless Roman soldiers. They had placed Him on the cross. He had died. He had buried. And yes, now the tomb was empty, but they weren't able to put it all together. And by their calculations, He was the one that was supposed to redeem Israel. Well, people, He is the one who will redeem Israel. But that's not why He came the first time. He didn't come to redeem Israel as a nation. He came to redeem mankind from their sin. That's why He came. He came to die. He didn't come to conquer. I pointed out to our class this morning in the beginning of my journey, the one thief said to Him something along these lines. If you're who you say you are, save thyself and us. I pointed out to you before, He did not come to save Himself. He came to give Himself in death. And so He died. Now, He didn't come to conquer. He came to die. He will return to conquer. And He will redeem Israel. But it wasn't, here it is now, listen, it wasn't the time for that now. Disappointed calculations. There are frustrating experiences in the Christian life from the standpoint of time. Time. We think things should happen in a particular time. The time of our calculation. The time of our thinking. The time of we think it how it ought to happen. And we calculate that things in the Christian life, whatever they may be, should happen at this particular time. We go visiting. And we think that people should respond now. We go visiting and knock on a door and talk about the bus ministry and what we have to offer. And we think that parents should want to send their kids on the bus now. We come to a Sunday school class and we feel like, you know, we're going to get this thing full and it's going to get full of people and it's going to happen in a period of time. We think God will answer our prayers now. Sometimes He does. Sometimes He does. Camp was good this past week. It was full to the max, probably 40 people there in the evenings on Thursday night. There were a couple of church groups that came from different places to bring their young people. It was like a Faith Baptist Church reunion. Jorge and Karina were there. Jason and Kelly were there. Jared and Bernadette were there. Steve and Jesse were there. Keith and Jamie were there. All connections to Faith Baptist Church. It was a blessing. It was a blessing. Tremendous blessing. And we had a good time interacting throughout the week. We had some good services. To me, I think the best thing that happened at teen camp this past week happened Wednesday and Thursday. Maybe I didn't. You might not have heard this on Monday when we got out to camp. Just a short while after we got there, we found out that Joyce's brother in Maine Monday afternoon was trimming some hedges at his house, tripped and fell 11 feet onto concrete. He broke 6 ribs. They thought he had broken collarbone and everything else. The real danger was puncturing the lungs. And so they had him in the hospital, and he was in pretty bad shape. We didn't know, you know, they just said, we talked to Sally, it was probably midnight out there by the time we got a hold of her. It was terrible reception at the camp. My phone lit up when I hit good cell area coming out of the camp on Friday. It lit up with text messages and emails and stuff. But anyway, that happened on Monday. We were monitoring that. And then Brother Scott Walker was at the camp. Scott Walker came with Northwest Bible Baptist Church from Elgin. He is my son-in-law's brother, Jason's brother, older brother. Good guy. One of the most solid guys you ever meet. He has a daughter named Andrea. Her and her husband attend Brother Robertson's church in Clinton. They had a little premature baby boy a month ago, just 3 weeks ago. I don't know. 1 pound, 2 ounce. Now, Josiah was 1 pound, 9 ounce. Is 1 pound, 2 ounce. 7 ounces at that size is huge. Okay? And this little boy is struggling. Has struggled bad. Okay? Born with a hole in his heart and other issues. And he was there. I asked Scott. I said, Brother Scott, how's your grand? Caden, how's he doing? And well, you know. On Wednesday afternoon, sometime during the day, it just got on my mind that, you know, tonight's prayer meeting night. I was thinking about BBS opening here. And I thought, you know, all these kids, they're all... churches are having a prayer meeting at home tonight. And, you know, the Lord just seemed to say, have a prayer meeting tonight and pray for Joyce's brother Steve and pray for that little baby. And, you know, you argue. I thought, well, you know, Brother Todd's got his plan and they got their survey, the game skits, and then they get you up to this special music to get you up to preach. I got in the tabernacle and thought, you know, you ought to have the prayer meeting. I'm sitting there thinking, no, I'm not going to do it. And then, you know, yes, I need to have the prayer meeting. No, we're not going to do it. And when I got up to speak that night, you're trying to howdy a little bit, you know, and just some getting, you know, having a little fun with the kids. And then my mouth just started moving just by itself. Hey, you know, back home at your home church tonight, this is prayer meeting night. And all of you get to have time for prayer on Wednesday night. And there's 2 things I'd like for us to pray about tonight. I told about Steve and about this little boy. I said, let's just break up. Let's just get in groups of 2 or 3 and let's not talk and horse around. And let's just pray and ask God. And folks, that thing went on longer than I thought. Those teenagers went to prayer. I mean, there was a murmur in the tabernacle. And I prayed with Brother Steve Cavanaugh, Pete's brother. And then I had him close. And it went on for a little bit. I didn't know it, but Jessica's brother, who was there, videoed it on his phone, sent the video to his dad, who then sent it to the little boy's mother. Said, this whole camp is praying for your son right now. Now, my wife on Thursday my wife went to her dad's to see John, spent the day, came home before the service that night and said, guess what? Said, Steve went home from the hospital today. I said, that's crazy. Because the day before they were talking about he couldn't go home. He couldn't go anywhere. Said he improved. He went home from the hospital today. Still got broken ribs. Just got to be careful. I said, that's wonderful. I was in the tabernacle Thursday night. Scott Walker comes up to me. He says, can I tell you about a phone call I just got a little bit ago? Now, Scott's an unemotional man. Unemotional man. Unemotional man. Okay? That's just how he is. All right? Unemotional. And he said, my daughter called me. They tried a medicine on Tuesday to close that hole in his heart. Didn't work. They tried a medicine on Wednesday. Didn't work. They were scheduled to try one this morning. And they decided that they would do a test to see if anything had happened to that hole. The medicine they were going to give him today was going to have dangerous side effects to his little kidneys and liver. But when they checked that hole, it had closed up 90%. By this time, he's got tears in his eyes. And I said, well, Scott, you come up and tell him. He said, I can't. I'll cry. I said, well, that'll be all right. Amen. Doesn't matter. Men can cry. But he said, no. He said, you just tell him. And I got up there and I told those kids what God had done with their prayers. And they went bananas. To me, that's the greatest thing that happened all week. I think there were two or three saved, some for assurance. Had great service Wednesday night. Wednesday night, invitation went a while. But to me, that was the most wonderful thing for those kids to experience. You get on your knees, you pray earnestly one night, and God answers and hears and answers the next day. That's just incredible. And the little guy's still struggling, but he's jumped that hurdle and doing some better. And, but we don't always get answers to our prayers like that. They don't always come immediately. They don't come at the time we think they should. The person doesn't get saved when we visit. The kids don't respond and ride the bus when we sign them up. And there's timing issues. By our calculations, this should have happened. And when it doesn't happen by our timetable, you have to watch your heart, folks. It can begin to wander. It can begin to cool off. I'm thinking about disappointed calculations. Number two, I'm thinking about unwise comparisons. Unwise comparisons. And here's what I mean by that. Don't say this doesn't happen, because I know human nature. We get frustrated at the blessings of others. It's not that we don't want them to be blessed. We just like to enjoy the same results. It's just like, it's just, you know, you hear, you know, you mean those teenagers go to prayer one night, and the next day God sends improves both those people's conditions? I'm not against that. You know, I'm happy for that little boy and his family and his dad and mom first baby. I'm happy for Brother Steve, but, you know, it'd be nice if God would answer my prayer like that. And you get a little frustrated. Now, Christian, listen, you don't know that your prayer is going unanswered. It could be developing as you worry that it's not. Unwise comparisons. You know, we sometimes hear reports from other places and other Christians about results going on in their life or their ministries. And sometimes we compare our results to theirs and they're not the same. Now look, folks, if we're lazy, if we're less passionate, that's on us. If we're allowing unconfessed sin to go in our lives, that's on us. But people, if we are in good faith, with clean hearts, attempting to serve Jesus Christ, doing our best, then we have to leave the results to Him. Have to. Regardless of what's happening to anybody else. What we're hearing from other places. Be thankful for every blessing that God bestows on someone else. But remember, good things sometimes tend to get exaggerated. You could be all worked up over something that's exaggerated. Not even really true. I remember years ago, there was a group of men, they were banding together to do or accomplish a certain endeavor, independent Baptist preachers. And they had some notoriety, got some notoriety, it picked up some traction. And, you know, they were good men, solid men, and good works and ministries. And, you know, through the grapevine, you would hear, as a pastor, you would hear of, you know, the church attendance and the figures and the souls saved and revival type services. And at the very time, we were in a bit of a slump here at Faith Baptist Church, just a bit of a slump. And, you know, we've never grown like this. It's never shot up like this. That's a dangerous kind of growth. It's always been plateau growth, and sometimes it just plateaus down a little bit. And we were in one of those times in the ministry of the church here. And, you know, I wasn't discouraged. It was just kind of like, boy, it'd be nice to enjoy a little bit about what they enjoy. And evangelists came through. And we were talking about it over dinner one night, one evening, or breakfast or whatever we were having together. And evangelist came through. We were talking about it. And I mentioned one of those guys, and he had just been to one of those guys' churches that were advertising. They were running 1,200 in Sunday morning attendance. He said, Terry, he said, I preached in that church on Sunday night. He said they had 50 people there. We were having about 200 in attendance on Sunday night back then. And then I found out that one of those works that was having these tremendous number of souls saved was just gathering up a bunch of kids in the park, having these big meetings and pulling the kids together and say, okay, now, if you want to go to heaven, repeat this prayer after me. And folks, that's not leading anybody to Christ. That's not leading anybody to Christ. In my opinion, that's giving folks a false hope. And I'm sitting there thinking, and God is rebuking me. In other words, not all reports are based on accuracy. You know, you remember that Jesus died, He was buried, and the next day, day one, after He was buried, day one, the Pharisees and the scribes came to Pilate, and they were worried that the disciples would come and steal His body away. Remember that? And they said, we'd like to put a watch there. Because, you know, His disciples might come and steal His body away. And so Pilate said, okay, you got your watch. Go take care of the grave. And the talk got started when the tomb was found empty. Don't you know that talk exploded? I bet Facebook lit up. I'm telling you what, man. Facebook lit up. I mean, social media was all abuzz. And they've stolen the body of Jesus out of the tomb. And folks, be careful that you don't start comparing and measuring against exaggerated results. Are you listening to me tonight? I'm trying to help us all. You know, listen, hey, it's always good to be challenged by real, true example. That's not bad. You hear a good testimony that really challenges your heart. It's based on facts. It's based on accuracy. It's real. And a brother testifies, this is what God has done. There's nothing wrong with that, folks. It's needful for our hearts to be challenged by a real example. But don't be discouraged by unreal exaggeration. You say, well, how do I know the difference? Just don't make the mistake of comparisons. Don't make the mistake of unwise comparisons. When you unwisely compare, your heart can, this is what's going on here, your heart gets the temptation to get cool and wander away from God. So you've got a disappointed calculations, you've got unwise comparisons. Let me give you a third time when your heart can wander and get cold on God. Lethargic companions. Lethargic companions. You know, after the resurrection of Jesus, not all the disciples got on board with belief, did they? I reread Thomas's words. Man, remember when Jesus showed up, but Thomas was not there with them? And they went and told Thomas, we saw the resurrected Christ. He came right there in our midst. And this is what he said. Except I shall see in His hands the print of the nails. And he didn't stop there. He got on a roll. And put my finger into the print of the nails. And he didn't stop there. Man, he's going. And thrust my hands into His side. I will not believe. Wow. That was one of their companions. That's one of their peers. And he's not on board with this thing after hearing their own personal testimony of seeing the Lord Jesus. Now, look, not everybody is always going to be excited about serving God. Jeremiah? Oh, my goodness. This myriad of false prophets was preaching, saying, God said, God told me to say. And you know what God's testimony was? I haven't spoken to any of them. They're preaching from the dreams of their own hearts. And the things that they have to say are like chaff. There's no substance to it. There's no nutrition to it. And here Jeremiah is trying to live for God, and these false prophets and all this nonsense going on. And brother, here, you know, sometimes people trying to live for God personally, trying to rear their family for the Lord and staying on track as a separated, dedicated follower of Christ, and companions and people all around you are bailing on the Lord Jesus. This one stops serving. This one compromises in some area. This one bails on Wednesday night. This one bails on Sunday night. This one just has no hunger whatsoever for things spiritual. And you start to think, man, what's going on? What's happening? And that can be disheartening. And all of those and more can contribute to someone experiencing a discouraged heart. Disappointed calculations, unwise comparisons, lethargic companions, all of them can cause our hearts to cool off. But folks, what are those things? All those things are on the outside. They're all external. And it doesn't matter. What's going on out here does not have to affect the boil on the inside. You say, what's the answer, Pastor? How do you keep it on the boil? How do you keep a warm, fervent heart? And by the way, folks, I don't preach to you tonight as one who's always been the example of this. I have had my share of seasons where my heart cools and wanders. And sometimes it's because of the things I've talked about tonight. So I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching to you. What do? How do you keep on the boil? You know, keeping your heart warm and fervent for Christ, no matter what is happening around you, keeping your heart hot within you. What is the answer? Look at verse number 27. The Bible says, after their disappointment, they expressed their disappointment, Jesus kind of softly rebuked them. And then the Bible says, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. And by the way, all those Scriptures would have been what? Old Testament. Old Testament. I guess that Old Testament is pretty important, isn't it? All those things He expounded to them. Now look at verse number 32. Now He is gone. He's vanished out of their sight. And they look at each other and they said one to another, did not our heart burn? What's the next word? Within us. Our heart burned within us while He talked with us, by the way, and while He opened to us the Scriptures. He talked and opened to them the Scriptures. Folks, the Scriptures are the source of heat. This book is the hot plate. This book is the burner that keeps the water hot. This is the small appliance that keeps the water on the boil. This is the book, is it right? Jeremiah was discouraged by all that was happening around him. Jeremiah was terribly discouraged. And God said to him, Jeremiah, is not My word like as a fire? And Jeremiah said, His word was in my heart as a fire, as a burning fire, shut up in my bones. People, this book will keep your heart on the boil. It will encourage you no matter what is going on around you. It will encourage you if you need encouragement, if you need comfort, if you need rebuking, if you just need a nice word from the Lord. This book will do it. You cannot keep a warm and fervent heart apart from the source of the heat. You can't do that. You can't do that. Now look, I'm going to talk very transparent to you. You know, this summer has been a bit taxing on quite a few people. Just has been. There are some folks who need God to answer a prayer. And by their calculations, they needed it some time ago. And it hasn't happened. There are some people, I think, who are discouraged by unwise comparisons. You jumped on the bus route and you thought, man, I'm visiting, I'm knocking doors, they're not coming. And, you know, so-and-so and so-and-so and I hear this. And you get discouraged. And some of you are discouraged by lethargic companions. Lethargic companions. Just made you discouraged. I want to tell you something. Summertime's never easy. You ought to be up here, folks. The number of folks sleeping on Sunday morning would shock you. I'm just telling you the truth. Shock you. Sitting in an air-conditioned building. But hear me. A lot of these guys are working 5 and 6 days, working 10 and 12 hours a day in the heat, the humidity. Come in and plop yourself down in that pew right there. Pretty easy to get a little sleepy. Amen. Pretty easy. I'm not crucifying people. I'm just telling you. And sometimes lethargy, you know, man, so-and-so didn't show up, and so-and-so didn't show up, and this meeting we had, and we only had one person who spoke. I understand. I get all of that. Some of you are discouraged by lethargic companions. Some by unwise comparisons. Some by disappointed calculations. Look, it was good to see people respond to the invitation this morning to be saved. It's been a little dry. You can say, man, it's been a little dry. Man, and I still submit to you that as a church, individually and collectively as a church, we need revival. I'll say it again. You got folks sitting out of church for no reason. That means there needs revival. Revival. I told, when was it, last Sunday night, Wednesday nights ago, I told about that revival I'm reading about in Wales where they didn't have enough ball players to play the games because they were at the revival meetings. Folks, when our hearts are hot for God, we're drawn. We're drawn to Him. Drawn to it. So it's been a little dry. It's been a little dry, a drought. We need revival. But I want to tell you something, folks. Don't lose sight of the blessings. Don't lose sight of the blessings. Man, we have adults attending here Sunday morning, Sunday night, even Wednesday nights, who were not here 12 months ago. I don't mean people who moved into the area. I mean people from the area who've been saved, baptized, and are on a development, are in the process of developing their walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. We had 7 in discipleship this morning, 2 new ones. We've got another one supposed to start in a couple of weeks after next week. At camp this week, it blessed my heart to see those 5 couples who are just serving the Lord. And all of that helps encourage, but the book is the source of heat. The book is the source of heat. And if you want to keep your heart hot and warm, you've got to stay in this book. Got to stay in it. Now, the month of August, as we follow through this year of consecration, is back to reading, Bible reading. And I've done another devotional booklet for you to take home with you tonight since August starts on Tuesday. And there's an answer sheet in the back. There's a couple of poems in here about the Word of God. And what I did this month, this time around, I took the day of the month and a corresponding Bible chapter. August 1 is Genesis 1. August 2 is Ruth 2. August 3, 2 Peter 3. And on throughout the book like that. August 17 is 1 Samuel 17. August 22nd is Acts 22. You'll find a short devotion, a few questions. Look. Not fooling me. Some of you are not in your Bible. You're not. I don't care how long you've been saved, what kind of atmosphere in the church you attend, if you're not personally in that book, you're going to have a hard time keeping your heart hot. I'm serious. You find every excuse in the world. Busy, tired, but you got time for the internet and for the TV and for Facebook. If you've got time for that, you've got a little time for this book. You got it. You just got to do it. You got that's this is what keeps your heart on the boil. In spite of disappointed calculations. This is what keeps your heart on the boil in spite of unwise comparisons. This is what keeps your heart on the boil in spite of lethargic companions. Okay, God, I'm sad. I hate that they fell out. But guess what? I read this morning where Jesus did this for me and where the Spirit of God does this for me. And you know what? I'm going to live for you today. Keep my heart, keep on the boil today and the next day and the next day and the next day. Keeping on the boil. Did not our hearts burn within us? Father in heaven, would you help our church, please? I pray that you'll take the message tonight and put it to good use in the minds and the hearts of our folks. Thank you for their efforts. Thank you for their labor. God, thank you for their work. Thank you for their sincere service. I pray, oh God, that you will take the message tonight, drive it home in the heart of the one who's discouraged, a tad bit despondent. Lord, for whatever reason, maybe something we didn't even mention tonight, but there's something that's just kind of popped the balloon. The air is just sizzling out slowly. And Lord, help us to keep on the boil. I pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Is there one here tonight who would say, Pastor, I needed that message for me, had my name on it. I need it. Would you slip your hand up in the air, whatever the way God spoke to your heart tonight? God bless you. Thank you. If you're here tonight, you need to be saved. Goodness gracious, come get saved. We wouldn't be able to baptize tonight, but we could do that next week. Let's stand together, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ladies are playing a song of invitation. You obey the Lord now. You obey God. You're hot. Your heart hot.